I can't believe it's all over! Or is it the end of days, the end of times, and or the end of the show? I love you, Spellman. You taught me how to love. Okay, After Buzzers, let's go to hell and get my favorite show back. We talk season finale of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Part 2, Episode 9, The Mephisto Waltz. The After Buzz After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
You guys are absolutely... This is ridiculous. You guys are masquerading for the masquerade ball that we don't have?
Who says we don't have one?
We just can't see it.
AfterBuzz, we have our own parade. Masquerade.
We can do whatever we want.
And you actually sang... better than Sabrina did on the show.
Ow!
Shots fired. As we talk, season finale of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Part 2, Episode 9, The Mephisto Waltz. So much happened in this episode. I mean, look, when you talk season finale, this is the kind of season finale that you want. Season finale means we want the end of the season, but the beginning of the next season, which I cannot wait for. We talk so much. We talk so much about this episode. We're going to discuss Wardwell is Lilith is Wardwell. We're going to get into the Wardwell and Lilith origin story, which is a great... We learned a lot of secrets this episode. The Dark Lord, the Dark Prophecy, and the Dark Times. The Gates of Hell, which, of course, were perfectly... placed where the gates of hell should be in Greendale. Sabrina and her father. And when I say father, spoiler alert, I mean Satan. Tehran was right. Masquerade ball. Prudence and the Weird Sisters. Father Blackwood makes everyone drink the Kool-Aid. Nicholas's sacrifice. Empress Wardwell, after all, the two gifts. Fright Club, the dark design over to my left, of course. And Let's Get Real Witches over to my left, but not as left as the left before. News and gossip, prediction. And much, 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 much more as we get into this episode. My name's Tehran. I will be your host. I'm so glad to be here for this one. And all the way to my left, I have the incomparable queen of puns, the pun of puns, the one and punly, Elena Jordan is in the building.
Hello, I am Elena Jordan.
Is that your masquerade voice?
It's actually me.
We didn't know. I felt like it was a glamour. That's your masquerade voice.
It's not a glamour. It's me.
I love it. And then, of course,
I'll stop doing that.
To her right, we have the Wiccan of Wiccans, the Wick of himself, Brendan Haley.
It is I.
Yeah, we can't tell with the mask still on, Brendan. I'm sorry.
Oh! Yeah!
And the reveal, like this episode. And to my left, the hero of heroes, who did an amazing job hosting the last two episodes. So great.
Oh, thank
the
you.
Superhero of superheroes herself, Veronica Valencia, is in the building.
It's true. It's me.
Yeah.
Can you...
Can I elaborate?
Oh,
thanks.
Oh. Could you imagine if it wasn't?
Oh, and here I am. Okay, ready?
Whoa!
Whoa! Watch. Watch this.
Ooh.
Clark Kent.
Yeah. Superman.
Yep. Totally right. It's totally a real thing that happens. It's a real thing. What's a real thing is that this was a season finale, and I would love to know all of your overall thoughts. Let's start over there with Elena Jordan and see how she felt about it.
I loved this finale. I thought it was awesome. They had so many, like, psych-out moments that were just completely unexpected. I love seeing, finally, because the one thing on this show that has been driving me crazy... It's Principal Wardwell, and why I can't get on board with Lilith, because I'm like, you still killed Wardwell. You're not awesome. She brought it back. So now I'm like, all right. You retconned that. I'm cool with it. From Wardwell to Lord of Hell. Into it. I liked it.
Well, you might have that opinion, but my opinion is I do not trust Wardwell. But we're going to get into that with predictions a little bit later, because I have plenty of thoughts. This episode was insane. It was just like one thing after another. Bam, 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 bam. We didn't even have enough time to breathe or take stuff in. It was just people in a crisis quickly responding. And we can definitely dive into why some of the decisions like the mortals blocking the gates of hell might not have worked in other situations. But you gotta hand it to them. All the characters just pulled out. out the stops, and I am attacking myself and my mask.
So. Loved it. Love it. Veronica.
This episode was absolutely fantastic. As you were saying, Brendan, every single character had a moment to shine. Every character was a hero. I loved how they teamed up, because we've been talking about how guys just team up to get the D-bag, to get him out. Melina said that specifically. Get him out.
Sounds about right.
And I love that. And there was just so, the reveals. I love the fact that we finally got to know what these past few episodes have all been leading up to. And to be perfectly honest, guys, I am most certainly happy we are getting another season. But had this kind of been the end, aside from what happens at the very end with that cliffhanger, I would have been so satisfied, because it was all wrapped up in a very perfect bow. Everything just kind of wrapped up, and I loved it.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, Veronica, because when I saw the end, I thought it was so good, I was sad, because I was like, yeah, it's only this good when you're not getting another season. Because they did wrap everything up in a way, and we got every conclusion we wanted to, and the storylines that did come out of this could have just went into the abyss and been left up in to our imaginations, a la Soprano style, right? But then they got the very last line with the Fright Club and "Let's go to hell and bring my boyfriend back."
Hey,
and I was like,
the first rule of Fright Club is don't talk about Fright Club.
That's actually a good point. That's a good point. Except with other members of Fright Club, and we're all members here.
Okay,
and
I'll
so
give you that.
The
I'll
concept,
give you that.
But the concept of the Fright Club, which was very cool, was very fun. The fact that Sabrina, and I don't know whether I'm in awe of Sabrina's idiocracy or if I'm just annoyed by it, because it's like, Sabrina, somehow you fought Satan and won. Let's just leave it there. But he's like, no, let's go to hell and bring, listen, mortals, guys, I'm not selfish, Sabrina. Let's go to hell and, well, you guys have no powers, but let's go to hell and bring my boyfriend back. So I can't wait. Now I can't wait for season 3.
See, I am so excited to see where they go and where that storyline takes them, because I think we will see hell in a more intimate setting. But it also so vividly reminded me of season 2 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because
yes,
that show... First off, most shows in this genre, but shows in general, take their structure from that specific show and that specific season.
100%.
That finale was bonkers. And this one, very much like that, was bonkers. They put everything on the line and did not disappoint.
That's what I'm most excited about for the next season, is that we seem to have this Scooby Gang kind of mentality, the camaraderie that, if you didn't watch Buffy, that's what they called themselves, a Scooby Gang, not just referencing Scooby-Doo, but Buffy as well.
No. Wait. I'm stupid.
Do you want to borrow my glasses, guys? Do you want to borrow my glasses? Which I don't actually need. So if you guys need to borrow them.
Oh, they're like hipster glasses.
100%. They're okay. My Clark Kent glasses.
Yeah. I like it.
But that's a great reference, is how they are like the Scooby Gang, a la Scooby-Doo and a la Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And we're looking forward to this season 3, because it does give us hope. And another nod to Harry Potter is the fact that I remember when the Harry Potter books would end and you would have to wait for the next Harry Potter book. That's what's happening now. I wonder how long it's going to take for them to give us a part, or technically a second season, because this was part 2 of season 1, but a season 3. And when I say that's because this season was already written going into production. Mm-hmm. Next season, I don't think it is. I think they maybe have an outline of what they want to do. But
they are, our last actually, episode, yeah, our writing guest said that they were percolating with some ideas and that they were in the midst of writing, but I don't think it's fully completed yet.
That's what I'm saying. And we also found out another thing. It's not just a season 3. We might even get
season 4.
Sheesh. So we get another complete story arc. So I wonder if they're going to part 1, part 2, that one as well, which would also make sense.
I feel like they will. Yeah.
Oh, I'm super excited for what's to come, because obviously, like, Sabrina deals a lot with witches and the supernatural and humans. I'm so excited if we do get to see hell, because then we get to dive into these other type of mythologies and these other type of creatures and the broader spectrum of the supernatural, which is so exciting. I love diving into stuff like that.
I'm excited to see if we see heaven. If we see more, I would love to see more of God and angels and things of that nature. That's one thing. There's this show called Lucifer, and that kind of plays that world, and that's actually coming out as well on Netflix May 8th, I believe, and I'm looking forward to that show because it plays with that dichotomy.
I'm hoping that they'll have, too, since we've seen a little bit in this with the tunnels and then also with the vision with Harvey's roommate in the closet, maybe we'll see some of the Earth portals, and maybe we'll see that maybe tie in if they do go to hell, leaving and going to different portals of different cities that are also affected.
I mean, there's definitely an Earth portal in my washing machine where my socks go each and every time.
Yeah.
And
I'm
pretty sure that my remote control is possessed as well. Let's talk some Lilith, because Wardwell's story was actually one that was very prevalent. I would say even more prevalent than the Dark Lord story himself, because while we didn't get an actual origin story of the fallen angel, we did get one for the fallen Lilith. Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on that, Brendan?
This is something that I've been waiting to see them develop a little bit more, because in the comic books, Miss Wardwell is a different character. There's a whole different arc going on with her. So I think it's really interesting to see how Roberto and the writers team and everyone involved with the show depicts this new storyline, because we haven't seen it before, but it is its own canon. And I loved that they took the whole fallen perspective from someone who isn't Lucifer. Mm-hmm. Because we're so used to seeing that. We're so used to seeing the opposite with God, or more biblical references. So I think it was cool to see a take that is fresh and new and feminist.
I really loved that, too, because they've had this whole kind of allegory to an abusive relationship with Lilith and with the Dark Lord, and showing that, you know, we've seen the blatant examples of gaslighting and things that are indicative of real abusive relationships that are psychologically, not even physically, but psychologically abusive, and having in this episode her showing the progression of that, where she's like, you know, you don't understand. At the beginning, he was nice. Like, he was kind. Like, we had this love. We had this relationship. It was that he turned into this monster, a literal physical monster, mm-hmm. and how they have these literal physical representations of these metaphorical monsters that people have to deal with in everyday life, and to see him literally become that monster and her still be tethered to him. And we see kind of the juxtaposition of that with Faustus and his doctrines that are slowly becoming, you know, like at first, no, this wasn't an overnight thing. It was the whole, you know, the parable of if you want to boil a frog to death, put it in water and turn it up 1 degree slightly instead of throwing it into boiling water, he'll jump out. If he doesn't realize he's being boiled alive, he'll be complicit in his own
dehumanization. That must be a French parable.
You've never heard that before?
Where they frog leg it up.
Or Elena is a secret.
I mean,
it's very possible. I don't think that's a secret.
She is wearing a dress with skulls on it.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I want to piggyback.
Again.
Yeah. I want to piggyback off of what you were saying, Elena. I completely agree. I thought this was a very touching callback to Lilith's origin story, because it's true. We do see the perils of an abusive relationship with them, and how she just basically has to serve him, and how in the end it was just the two of them and they were kind of fighting the odds together. I also want to make a point. If I was the Dark Lord, I would also want to get back to my original body, because did we see him?
Honey.
Woo! Yeah.
Oh, honey.
I think we all want him to get back to that original body.
And it was good.
It's like, what would you rather be? Like, angel, fallen angel, or a weird goat?
I'm just like, can we have a spinoff where it's just like, hey, look, it's the Dark Lord.
The Dark Lord and Nicholas.
Hanging out with Nick. They're in a sauna. They're just like chilling.
It's just a big gay relationship.
It's a podcast between these two.
Yeah, it's just like, it's a sauna. And
it's interesting, Lilith's story. And I'll tell you something that was a very interesting point is to what Elena was touching on, where Lilith gives the recounting, and we find that out. We as the audience always knew this, but the characters on the show, and she explains, and Sabrina's basically like, well, why'd you put up with this? Why'd you stay? She says, it's all I've ever known. And then Sabrina says something like, well, that's a weak reason to stay.
But it's also, that's such a true statement, and you see it in so many abusive relationships, you see it in so many cases of hoarding. Like, people, I think Daenerys says it on Game of Thrones, people learn to love their chains. And that's such a true statement of humanity, Because we all do it to some extent.
It is.
Yeah, it's a very true statement. And, of course, Sabrina is the outsider looking in on the situation where she can say that's a weak excuse because she can be like, oh, well, that doesn't make up for everything that you did. But for Lilith, she thinks it's completely normal. And it's true. It is all she's known. So how is she supposed to break out and see that there's something more beyond what she's been dealing with her entire life?
It reminds me of the selfishness that I brought up a couple episodes ago about Sabrina, and I'll tell you why. Remember, I love Sabrina. However, this is a selfish attitude where it's, I'm open-minded, but I'm always right, so if you don't think the way I do, then you must be wrong. There's no empathy there. She doesn't understand what it's like to be in a relationship like this, especially, she's dating Tim, who works at In-N-Out, okay? You're with the Dark Lord. You're with Satan, the master manipulator. I mean, we have names of how manipulative that Satan can be. In fact, it's one of the atonements that is given and bestowed upon the Morningstar is his power of manipulation and suggestion, right? So it's not like you're just dating some random guy who works at Kenny Shoe and he's like really mean. This isn't the situation. You're with the Dark Lord, the one who's created what we on Earth have decided is known as evil. I feel that that's a sign of how Sabrina is so selfish. You say the worst thing to a person who's basically opening up to you or to anyone possibly for the first time in history.
But I think that that's what they've kind of explored through this, is that the arrogance that is Faustus's tragic flaw is kind of the same thing with Sabrina, and that's her tragic flaw, is
hubris.
Yeah, it kind of comes into this idea of, if you're put in this position of power, can you accept power without also having that level of arrogance and kind of, I don't want to say nearsightedness, but the inability to really fully grasp all of the elements of the situation instead of just those that are directly affecting you.
And bringing it back to Madam Satan, Lilith, all that jazz, I think she's going on from this season finale, she has everything that she has ever wanted. So she has no reason to stay in that kind of relationship, obviously, even though she's sort of the custodian of Satan now. So I think it will be interesting to see maybe where she goes, because I could easily see her storyline going into an area where she has everything she wants, but it doesn't make her happy.
Interesting. I mean, I want to touch on the storyline itself, right? So let's remove all moral judgment. Let's remove the abusive nature. What did you guys think of how the story was played out or revealed to Sabrina and the cast? How did you like that?
I like to parallel it with the apocalypse, which is going on because it's almost too chaotic with so much information coming at you that you don't have the time or the luxury of time to think about it or sit with yourself and work through the traumas of the moment or the relationships that are beginning or breaking.
I thought it was very thoughtful storytelling and definitely a great moment for Principal Wardwell showing a sense of vulnerability as well.
I thought that whole arc was a really, really great storyline to also kind of push forward not only Sabrina's personal character development, but also the idea that now it's like, okay, we've had this complicated relationship with Wardwell. We're getting a little bit more of her true backstory and now a little bit of her motivation, because that's been our biggest thing with her. It's like, well, what does she want? Like, what is her objective? It seems to switch all the time. And now we understand it's because she's been put in this situation where she's been kind of misguided. And so at one point she did want something, but then it changed because, again, with somebody feeding you lies and gaslighting and saying all of these things, you get lost in your own sense of self. And so we see Sabrina kind of help pull her out and get a better perspective as to what's going on. So she literally goes from trying to murder Sabrina to going like, okay, well, this is how we can work together. Ambrose is wanting to do a spell where we're going to hide you from the devil and you just run forever. Running isn't going to work.
But think That's of those thighs, work. Though. She's going to look good.
You know, here's the thing about with Lilith. First of all, I liked how they showed the origin story, and it was the gloss was different, so it was lighter than what we're used to watching, so you would know it's a reflection. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that they kept the same actor
for the Lilith story as well. I felt like maybe you could have had a different actor, just a different look.
Oh, you mean like she's taken multiple bodies over time?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
I agree with you on that. I actually, what bothered me, and I'm glad I rewatched the episode a second time, because the first time through, I was trying to figure out why they were casting a younger actress who looked nothing like Michelle Gomez, and then I had to realize in my second viewing, oh, she actually body snatches people.
She body snatches. She's Lilith. She's an incubi, and she goes from body to body as a demon, right? Mm-hmm. And also, I like all that stuff. The one thing I didn't like is when she's walking and everything's rubble, it just looked like she was in a canyon in Encino. It looked like she was in a canyon in Encino. And I just felt like that one particular scene and everything's supposed to look like it's rubble, it looks like... That's the only time that the set design was just not on for me. It just looked so...
I don't know. Maybe it was just a comment that Encino was a little bit of hell.
Possibly, but it was Runyon, right? It was just like, there was just not... It was just like, oh,
that's my hell.
There's a brick.
I show up, they're like, go hike this.
Yeah, basically.
Avoid the yogis.
But avoid the Instagram models.
But that's the thing. It was just like, I felt like there could have been a little more... put into play. There were only like three parts to that. There was the slab she lays on, the canyon she walks through,
and the cement and brick the cement. That she lays on too.
Exactly.
Not the, like not the demonic slab.
Exactly. Yeah. So it goes boom, 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 and that's basically all. And but I wanted more.
I like that they show, like, they literally have that as the foundation, and then they're like, and this was the foundation for Greendale. Like, we literally built this town where... Lucifer fell.
I love that point because up to this moment, I've been asking myself, why are they so unlucky?
Yeah, like, why is this a Hellmouth? Yeah. Like,
Buffy reference.
Buffy
reference.
Well,
it's everywhere.
I'm going to give you an Originals reference. It's where all of a sudden they were born in a part of Virginia, and it reminds me of, wait, stop doing that. There is a rest of the world. This, if all of this happened, it didn't happen in Greendale. Mm-hmm. The United States history is possibly at the most, when it comes to the Europeans, is possibly 300 years old, right? So unless these people were Native Americans, indigenous people, then it also becomes that question because Greendale is a part of the United States. So these are the things that bothered me when it comes to those.
Well, also the witches affects. The witches would have come over and probably known about it because of...
You would have thought, yeah. Then everything goes out. I mean, I get it. It's magical. It's mystical. It's fiction. However, if you're going to create fiction and create it steeped in reality, have a situation. At least be like, I fell in... we fell to Jerusalem, and then we went to Haifa and then got zapped here to Grand. Like something like that. The concept of paradise is, oh,
we already know that like time isn't really a thing with sure. this show. Mm-hmm. I feel like they feel the same thing about space. Like they feel like, I mean, we've even seen like the Devil's Triangle is like, okay, that's not where that would be.
It still bothers
like,
me.
But like, it works out.
It does. I feel like that's just one of those things that for this show specifically, they're like, ignore the rules of time and space. Ignore it. Like,
however,
yes, we have, like, a freaking, like, gramophone while Ambrose is on his laptop. Don't ask questions. Just say yes. It looks cool.
It looks cool. I like it, but hipster culture is questionable. No, I'm excited to see if they... Because I have the feeling they're going to take the story outside of Greendale, or at least for subplots in the following season. So that's... What I would
but
like
even
to see.
Something like the Devil's Triangle. So the Devil's Triangle is still in the North Atlantic Western region. So you could be like, oh, it's a bigger part. You know what's not? The United States of America. Like, it's just not in the Middle East, right? And it's just stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just little things where, once again, it plays in my mind how diversity does affect or representation does play. We learned a lot of secrets this episode. Did you have any secrets that stood out in your mind? Of course, the one that stood out the most in my mind is the fact that the Dark Lord is, we learned this before, like Sabrina's father, and we know this is confirmed. And that was something that, you know, from the get-go, I was predicting. I wasn't sure. And it didn't play out the way I thought it did. I thought it was the night before the wedding, but it turns out that they went to the Dark Lord for help. But that played out. Sabrina is half Dark Lord.
That, I have to agree with you, Taran, and that part kind of surprised me. I thought, like, maybe at birth, her birthrights or whatever was given over to the Dark Lord by Edward. I didn't suspect that she would actually be like the Dark Lord's daughter, which their relationship, his like relationship with her was very weird. I couldn't decipher if he wanted her romantically or if he wanted her as a daughter.
It is a little bit of both. I was reading some fan theories and also some articles explaining more of the ending, and it turns out they're kind of going a little Game of Thronesy. They like incest is not a big thing, especially for a cosmic being.
Satan. Well, I mean, Faustus is even like, I'm going to marry my twins together as soon as they turn 16.
Which isn't unlike what actually happened in royal bloodlines historically throughout time, where you would try to keep the bloodline royal by marrying, intermarrying. And if you actually look at the current royal bloodlines that exist, even though they might not be brother and sister or first cousins, they're definitely second cousins, third cousins, and they're all, in fact, related. And, of course, there's even a conceptual theory that most of our presidents are related somehow when you go back into the past. Like, all the presidents we have now are related to past presidents who are actually all related as well. So there's this contingent that there's a conspiracy to consolidate power through the bloodline, and that's not something that's new.
Blackwood is all about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He wants to marry his two twin babies together. That's kind of messed up. That's kind
of
gross.
What? You never heard of that? No one's ever married? You've never married your twin?
No.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Honey, I married my second cousin twice removed.
It's definitely weird to marry someone you're related to, but what is convenient is when shows that are related to each other are categorized together in a way that is easy to find, just like they do here at AfterBuzz TV. You can subscribe to all of the different channels. We break it up, make it super easy. Definitely subscribe to ours, too. Leave us comments. Give us those 5 stars. Thumbs up. Especially in iTunes, too. We love getting your comments because that helps people find us a little bit easier in the search as well. So thank you guys for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
What just happened?
That's what happens when you marry your cousin.
What happened? Raw's style. I touched this notebook with all of the lists of the AfterBuzz TV things.
Oh, you just saw some symbols?
It was just too intense.
You saw...
Yes,
5 stars.
All the symbols.
YouTube.
I saw so many stars and so many thumbs up. It was just too much at once. So thank you.
Well, we do have some comments that I'd like to go through. I'd like to give a nice shout out to Nicholas Kelly, who's been extremely active in the chat, even correcting the terms incubus to succubus. We have Piotr Slezoric. So both time and space is malleable. Cool. We have Big Face Hundreds. That's going to be one of my top favorite names that we have. Where's Sabrina Mom? And I love that.
She's in purgatory.
Sounds exactly the way I would think Big Face Hundreds sounds like. Let's go to Gracie Ryan. As hot as Michael was, Sabrina was better. Did we think that? Did we? And then, of course, the question was, will we get to see some of the archangels, Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael coming up? What do you guys think?
I think we have a lot of room to create, especially in the heaven region of the show, because we've only seen the missionaries. That's it.
Yeah. This episode, though, so many things were happening.
So many. What other secrets did we find out this episode?
That Andrew Lloyd Webber is a fan favorite of Satan.
Guys, I am a sucker for a musical number. Some people hate musical episodes of shows. I am a sucker for musical episodes. I'm a sucker for musical numbers. I loved this. If you dislike it, that's okay. I loved it. It was wonderful.
I thought it was so random. I was just taken by complete shock. But also for the fact that we got an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical number and it wasn't Salem singing Cats.
Oh my god.
Prime moment to shine. And we didn't get Memory or Old Deuteronomy.
The next thing that did bother me, I love that the mortals were able to close the portal to hell. We got to see that now Roz has expanded her powers. She can make other people see her visions. Harvey can draw things like we've seen, and now it is meaningful. So yay, Harvey. But also, you're not witches, so at the end, when everybody's dancing with their masks on and then are all doing the incantation together, why are these three mortals saying the spell and hanging out? You're going to be lit on fire. How are they not just, like, instantly? I don't understand.
I had that exact same thought. Well, I love the fact that, yes, all of our human characters got moments to shine. It was almost kind of like, is it even possible for you? Like, can you, as a human, really prevent the gates of hell from opening? And did they teach you this incantation? Because y'all were saying it just fine from what it looked like.
Yeah, I was like, what is happening?
I mean, that's a lot of...
That was the only thing that bothered me.
What did you all think of the Dark Lord? Let's get into some Dark Lord conversation. The Dark Lord obviously played a huge part. What did you think of the Dark Lord? Let's not just talk about him without a shirt on. Let's talk about him as a character, him as a person who got trapped and fooled by Sabrina. Like, let's talk about that Masquerade Ball where the Dark Lord was unable to sense that mortals were there. That's what I say.
Or the Acheron configuration, like... Just, I don't know, the whole...
But it's like the Dark Lord is the most powerful being after God, right? We find out in this season that he's neither omnipresent or omniscient. So, fine, we understand that.
And
we
Madam
get that.
Satan even said, she corrects them, she's like, he's not a god, that's just a big lie of his, that's like his oldest lie.
Exactly.
But nonetheless, he is a cosmic being.
He is an ultimate cosmic being.
But we see things that fail, too. Like, we see the first plan that, you know, we think is going to work with Wardwell, where they have the horseshoe, pinning him in place. And then I like that we had the spear that came back into play. Even though when Ambrose was like, we have Father Blackwood to thank for this. And I was like, no, you don't. You have Lilith to thank. She showed you this in a vision. So why are we acting like that is not...
Also, he can smell about it. All of a sudden.
And also that spear was... I felt like it was a hint at the spear of Christ, just to let you know. So it's like the spear of Christ, the spear... that was supposed to have pierced Christ's body. So it looks like God artifacts do play a part, if that's
somewhat
the case.
They had it like kind of like an allusion to, but I mean, we even see in this one, it doesn't work. Like, it ends up just, and I love that Lilith too. It's just like, sorry about that. Really thought that would work. So anyway.
Also, how is it that Lucifer can fall for Sabrina? Not really, sort of just phoning it in when she's like, I will submit to you, 5 seconds after she's been like, no, I will never do this.
I think it's kind of going back to how we have been talking about Father Blackwood. It's a sense of arrogance with the Dark Lord in that, you know, in his mind, nothing can bring him down. Nothing can trap him. He'll always get his way. So he doesn't think anyone is really plotting because it's just kind of, it's his normal. Everyone has always worshipped him.
Sure, but of course, the Dark Lord's ultimate tragic flaw is hubris. That is he's the first person who commits the sin of hubris, right? The first entity that does so. But I just felt like the Dark Lord wasn't as powerful as the Dark Lord should be, and I also felt that people were not as afraid of the Dark Lord as they should be. This is, once again, it's Satan. Yeah. Like, let's just remember it's Satan. And also, this is a person that they've been quote-unquote programmed their entire heritage to believe is a god, regardless. So I would just say, if I came face to face, and I've always thought that Harvey and Sabrina and all these people have been extremely brave. They're like the bravest teenagers on planet.
Or just idiots.
Yeah, but they just come face to face with things and they don't flinch and they don't run. I would scream like a bitch. Like, I would just, I mean, like if I was somewhere and then I just saw a man walking on water, I'd be like, hey guys, like maybe we should just listen to whoever this person is. We should probably at least listen or at least respect that something. Oh my gosh, did he just set things on fire just by going like this?
Like, they still acknowledge that, but I mean, at this point, it's not like, I mean, they have a plan, they have a goal, and it's like we have to trap him. So it's just all of the things up to this point where they're like the only thing that we have is to try to trap him, and because they have it established early on that he's not as powerful as he's been kind of played. So, and we see, you know, multiple times that their plan fails.
But even if I wanted to trap my father, let's say I had a situation with my father who has no supernatural powers, I would still think twice. Like, I would still have this respect, fear, love thing
that I've had my whole thing. That's the whole thing that Sabrina is, that she doesn't have that respect, that she's always rebuking him. She said no from the beginning. She's like, no, I'm not even going to steal a pack of gum. Like,
Sabrina, yes. I'm talking about the rest of the crew. The rest of the crew jumps on like Ambrose. Ambrose, who's shown fear in the past, showed very little fear. Helda and Zelda. Zelda should have been a little more like, wait, Sabrina, let me talk to you really quick.
They have that conversation, though, where it's like, where she flat out says, like, I will go against the Dark Lord. Family comes
first.
For
my family.
This is for Sabrina.
100%.
So I think that they explain all that.
I just wanted a little more fear. I thought Dark Lord, listen, I just think Satan's very powerful. We should respect the power of Satan. Hail Satan, hail Judas. The dark prophecy. Let's talk about that. That prophecy, the end of times prophecy, that Sabrina's basically the Antichrist. Yes or no? Is Sabrina the Antichrist?
I mean, she did it.
She's technically, but she clearly doesn't want to be.
No.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I think it just comes down to they had the prophecy and she fulfilled it, but it's the... what happens after. It's the anytime that you're given a story, you're only given part of the story. So in her mind, she's rewriting the rest of it.
Now, would you have done it? Let's say you were the Antichrist. Would you have fulfilled the prophecy or would you have gone against the Dark Lord?
Well, I mean, she tried to go against you
as a person. I mean, that's specifically.
That's a weird question, though, because it doesn't make any sense. Because it's like...
Because she didn't know she was doing it.
Yeah,
she didn't.
It wasn't a choice.
No, I mean, let's say
so
we get to a point...
So asking us what our choice
is. What would you do if you were placed in this position where you could either reign in hell or not? Would you have gone along with the plan of the Dark Lord or fought against the Dark Lord?
Well, I think we all can go up against him.
Yeah.
We all would do that.
Yeah. I would have been like, yo, this sounds great. I'm on board. Like, let's just run high. Yeah, I'm kind of down. That's why these things don't happen to me.
So you want to live in, like, 127 degree weather for, like, the rest of your life?
He wants to be Lilith.
Not Lilith, Sabrina. Lilith didn't get all the stuff that she was promised.
And ultimately, she did. She just took it.
Yeah, she took it. She mm-hmm. took it. She
Good
made it happen. Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that concept
not
of the
today,
gates of hell.
Satan.
Yeah, not today, Satan. Gates of hell. The gates of hell being in the mines and the fact that the mortals were able to keep the gates of hell closed. What did you guys think of that one?
Again, it's very fast and they all had to think on their feet, but it's hard to watch that part of the show or that episode without being like, okay, so Roz can do that to Harvey now, and we know that the symbols are something that we saw, but now they can close the gates. So it was very convenient, but at the same time, I do stand by my statement. Everything is happening so quickly. They are just taking a leap of faith, and it's working. But it also leads into my theory that maybe there is something... in the way that Satan has this grasp or manipulation over Sabrina's life and the people around her, maybe the mortals have that same connection, but with God.
I mean, we know Roz does to some degree, yeah. Like, and she has like the church kids and everything come over to celebrate, and we see that she's very grounded in her religion. I just like that we saw that there was a little bit of allusion to in the House of Horrors episode with the... Harvey's roommate Howard trying to draw these things to keep the demons at bay and failing, and then ultimately it's like, oh yeah, I just need to do what Howard did, but like not suck at it and draw a lot more, and you know, have send poor Theo to the gate to go drop these off. That I also was like, send them up as you're drawing them.
Yeah,
why do we have a stack like in the back
toward
like, what?
The door? You're gonna get grabbed by a demon.
Classic horror.
I did like, though, did you notice that the way that they grabbed him, it was almost exactly like what happened in Shaun of the Dead with Lucy Davis? It was like the exact same like framing and everything, and I was like, yeah!
That's a good nod. That's a good nod. I like that scene a lot, actually. And even though it did go, I thought it was well written and thought of, and I liked how it played out, and I'll give a lot of props to the writers for suspending my disbelief for so much of it. The Masquerade Ball itself. Let's talk about that dance, the number, and how they were able to fool the Dark Lord.
I mean, who can't get bedazzled by one of these, right?
He was a sucker for a musical number.
I hate musical numbers. You know when you were like, who hates musical numbers?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, I think it's just, again, it's just like he's... not thinking anything's up because he is used to being worshipped and he's seeing people worshipping again. He's living for it.
Yeah, it's flattery to him.
Yeah. He doesn't figure it out until very late in the game.
And they bring that up. They say to the fact that let's flatter him. And she does it again. But the funny thing is she used the same trick twice. Like, I'm going to flatter you twice. And
but
he buys it twice.
Flaw.
That's his tragic flaw. It
and
plays out.
And I think that that's also why they have Sabrina, why we do have the same illusions, that she has the same tragic flaw as her father. And that could ultimately be her downfall.
It could possibly be. Did you like the song?
Masquerade?
Yeah.
Phantom, baby.
I am not actually a fan of Andrew Lloyd Webber in Phantom of the Opera.
Most people are not.
Yeah. I have my moments where I enjoy it, but I liked the spontaneity and sort of this random musical number because it is bonkers, but at the same time, it makes perfect sense that they would put it on as a glamour, as a way to distract him. And I think it's the best
everyone
way.
Everyone in pretty outfits
and puffy pants.
And it felt like it was Hilda's a fun number. It felt great. It was fun. I don't like musicals, but it played out.
And then
out.
They got to wear pretty dresses for the rest of the episode.
And they did.
Bathe in that hell light. I was like, oh, y'all know your lighting. You knew that those dresses would look great.
They knew. Prudence and the sisters try to kill Father Blackwood with reason. Father Blackwood successfully makes everyone drink the Kool-Aid. And thankfully, they're saved. That was sheesh.
Dude, I love that we had the cyanide reference before because it was like the almond and the sweetness, the cyanide is hidden in it because that was the exact Jim Jones reference was that he put cyanide in the Kool-Aid because you couldn't taste it.
And that I will never drink almond milk ever in my life. I'll tell you that right
now. It has been slightly frustrating kind of watching Prudence these last few episodes because you know she's being used. You know she's not being treated well and you just want to be like, Prudence, like, it's okay. You don't need to be a Blackwood. You don't need his approval. And I love the fact that this episode she's like, you want to know what? I'm more with my sisters. They have had my back and I don't need you. And I love that.
And that's why the reversal of that character arc is so powerful when she finally realizes, oh, shit's going down. I'm going to take care of myself.
And we got a nod to the Ring Around the Rosies, which was a very cool nod to happen and come through.
And might I also add at that moment, it's Ring Around the Rosies, and we see Father Blackwood's nose bleed, which was one of the
symptoms of bubonic
early. Mm-hmm. Yeah, early symptoms.
Yeah, it was really cool. Father Blackwood makes everyone drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and now Zelda gets to be
High Priestess.
Dude, that was the best moment when she said that.
That's sad, though, because it's like most of the coven's dead. Like, they couldn't save the majority of the people.
Well, it's not like they went to school anyway. No one went to classes, so I don't know how that's going to
work. They were just unseen.
Yeah, so basically, if the witch hunters had just let Father Blackwood do it all, they would have been fine. I mean, it was definitely a heavy scene, and you said something last week, Elena, about it being like a school shooting. This was a very similar feel, I felt like.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like a blatant attack. I mean, it was also very just cult reference, too, to like the actual Jim Jones and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get Nicholas's sacrifice. Nicholas traps Satan in his body. That's what's the strongest trap in the world, apparently.
Have you seen those abs? That's the Acheron configuration, mama.
What's the Abcheron?
Configuration,
am I right?
I mean, realistically, looking back on it, who else could have really done it? You have three humans there, like, no good there, and then Sabrina, but...
And everyone's like, no.
Obviously.
His name is in reference to many different stories about the devil.
Yeah.
Like Nicholas and Scratch, both separately but together, show up in different short stories. I think Daniel Webster, I think there's a reference to a Nicholas Scratch.
I was not surprised when it turned out Nicholas was working with the Dark Lord. That was a theory being thrown around. I was like, I kind of expected it. But I'm very happy he had this redemption arc. And it turned out like, you know what, I really do care about you. I am really this person that wants to support
you. I love you, Spellman. I love you, Spellman. You taught me how to love. And he gets back in. It's a she's all that moment, I guess. That was like, it was a bet. And then you fell in love for real. And the last thing we need to talk about, of course, is Wardwell, which I think is more predictions because she takes over hell.
And
of course gives Sabrina her gifts. Let's get right into that dark design. What did we miss in this episode that only Elena's eyes could catch?
Man, there were so many things. First of all, when Miss Wardwell first is entering and she comes through and breaks their enchantment or whatever, and they're talking, in the background we actually see a black and white photo of a man who looks like Edward holding the baby. So it seems to be like an illusion of, okay, who is your true father? And is this like a situation that we're going to maybe see later that it's more of a choice? The end by the Doors played as the end happened and the Doors closed. So I was like, you literally used the song from the Doors I just loved it. And then they also had... Let me pull up here. Oh, At the very end, they had a poster of Newman the Great, who we've seen a little bit of reference to. We talked some previous episodes. This is the first time we see a full Houdini poster, though. So it was kind of nice to see that. One thing that was also kind of cool in the background was a poster that said it was... This year, it's from beyond the grave, where death is just the beginning. And so that seems to be an allusion to what's going to happen. That was when they were having the Fright Club conversation. A little allusion as to what we're going to see next season, potentially. Another thing that we saw repeatedly in this final scene that we haven't seen before was a poster for Cabiria, which was a Giovanni Pastorone 1914 silent film that was about a young girl who was abducted and goes through all of these trials and tribulations. Ultimately, it also shows the eruption of Mount Etna, which we've seen in the background, all of these volcano references. So we think that might play into next season as well.
They play a lot of time and effort into this, and it really, mm-hmm. and I just want to let you know on the set and at home, it's noticed. We, hats off to you. My hat stays on, but it's off metaphorically and, of course, figuratively. Let's talk some quick news and gossip, which we actually have already thrown out. According to reliable sources, we are getting a third, and we know about the third, but now we have kind of confirmed the fourth season. We also learned that Roz and Harvey are dating in real life, which is, we're breaking that news first. No one knows that. And we also know that they are now bringing in more Wiccans into play for the writing, but have said specifically that we take a lot of our stuff from movies and fiction. So don't expect, this isn't a religious documentary. It's a fun-filled fictional world, and we're going to get a lot of hell. So we'll see all of that coming up. And let's talk predictions.
Oh, I think we might need to actually
predictions.
Get out of here.
One sentence of prediction.
I think next season is going to be an intense ride. TV
predictions. I'm going to say one sentence prediction. Mary Wardwell, Stolas, that connection. She is spying on the mortals.
Mm-hmm. I want to give my prediction a shout out to Art Master Austin in the chat, who asks, does Sabrina get her Antichrist magic back or just her normal witch magic back? I think just normal witch magic back. She had enough Antichrist magic.
Well, we'll see. I think we get some Spellman parents. I think we see Edward and wife in the next one. I don't know. And hopefully we'll get to go to heaven. But until next time, this is it for us. Panel here. Panel, we were a great team. Please make sure to rate us on podcast. Where can people find you if you want to be found, Elena?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, ALANAJORDAN, and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. You can also check me out on the Riverdale After Show and on Doom Patrol.
And you can find me, Brendan Haley, behind this mask, and at Brendo Hales on Twitter, Brendan Haley on Instagram, here doing Supernatural in just a few minutes, and Queer Eye on Tuesdays.
Hey everyone, I'm Veronica Blance. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at it's me, Veronica _V.
Hey everyone, I'm just Teron. I am Teron all across the board. IAMTEHRAN. Find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you can find people, and of course on a slew of other AfterBuzz after shows as we discuss all things. Until next time, hail Satan. Well, there is no more Satan. Hail Judas. I don't even know about Judas, but hail all of you for being with us throughout this part two of all 9 episodes of Sabrina. We appreciate you very much. We will see you on hopefully season 3.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.